You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm telling you, I am red hot for this show, excited to be back in the studio after taking a single week off to celebrate my birthday last week. Keith Alexander hasn't been in nearly a month, and I can tell you he is just as eager and ready as I am, because we've got a busy show tonight. I truly believe that this could be one of the best shows of the year. With the content that we have to bring to your attention this evening. It's Saturday, June 29th. It is hot as blue blazes outside of Memphis. My God, do I ever hate it. So when I got to it's hotter in here, rhetorically speaking, but when I got to the radio station today, 128 degrees in Death Valley, so it's a little cooler there than it is here, I think. But I got to the radio station about an hour ago to get ready for the show, and I turned the air conditioning on to where it blew ice chunks out of the... Keith walked in a few minutes ago and said if we could hang meat in the studio tonight, and that's just the way I like it. But that's the only thing that's going to be cool about this show. Otherwise, it's going to be absolutely scintillating, red hot, and we're going to start the show off with a letter that we received via the Liberty News Radio Network this week. From a listener in Belgium, and this really, I think, folks, this is why we do this radio program. This is why we've done it for nearly a decade now. Here is what it reads. I'm a citizen from Belgium, and lately I've been listening often to the Political Cesspool, although I considered myself to be more moderate on several points than the presenters. Your show and its hosts were, you will not be surprised, referred to as fascists, neo-Nazis, etc., on a political forum that I visit. Now, what political forum, Keith, I wonder, in Belgium knows so much about us to refer to us as the usual bud words, neo-Nazis, so on and so forth. But nevertheless, the new listener continues. I decided to give you a try, expecting to hear far-out rants from neo-Nazi nutjobs. I thought it would be a laugh, if I was to believe the description by the usual suspects. When a younger and more naive, I considered myself to be a left-winger, but as soon as puberty passed and I began to experience real life in a country where political correctness was dominating the media and anti-racism laws nowadays also embrace what I call Islamophobia, using methods that parallel those used by former communist East Germany, I began to consider myself moderately conservative and center-right on political and moral issues. So, as I said, I was expecting a crazy rant from the Political Cesspool host, but what I got, to my surprise, were decent and very polite people whose opinion I agree with a lot of the times on many issues. I was really pleasantly surprised, and now listen to the show on a regular basis. I also have a keen interest in Southern history ever since reading Jefferson Davis's Rise and Fall of the Confederate Government. This, again, Keith, is from a listener in Belgium. Probably knows more about Jefferson Davis and the Confederacy than most Southern schoolboys now. And seeing that there was much more to the American Civil War than the typical North and St. Lincoln wanting to abolish slavery and the South being the reactionary evil slave owners we hear in school. Again, was pleasantly surprised by your series, and Keith, you led this series on Southern history. That was back in April. I can tell you that if I ever have the opportunity to visit the United States, my first choice will be touring the old Confederate states to absorb the history and heritage. I just want to say, keep up the good work, guys. I'm glad that there are still so many people left out there who have the guts to speak out on what is common sense to those who are not blinded by the all-around militant political correctness these days. And then he signs his name, which, of course, we'll leave off. Keith, that letter right there and the letters like it that we receive every week from new listeners who are coming and enjoying and embracing our program, that's why we do the work for free. That's why we take the bruises and endure the scars. God bless this fella from Belgium. We're reaching out to people all over the world, and we're leading the charge, and we're moving the needle.
As much as I hate to quote Bette Midler, this is the wind under my wings, you know, to hear this type of comment. We're getting through. We're making a difference. Thank heavens. We're going to free people. Martin Luther King, forget about it. He didn't free anybody. You're going to be, thank God Almighty, free at last if you listen to the Political Cesspool and take to heart what we're telling you. Because everything that we're telling you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We distill it. We go through it. We don't take anything on someone else's word. We test it all out, check it out, and we have come to conclude that just about everything that you learned in school, particularly in a history class, is false. It is biased. And not only is it false and biased, it is manipulative. They're trying to make you think along a certain path so you can be controlled. Don't be controlled. Be the free person that God intended you to be. Use your mind. Use your head for something other than a hat rack.
Again, I want to thank the listener, the new listener from Belgium. Welcome to the Political Cesspool, ever-growing fan base and listening audience. And folks, by the way, I want to tell you again, at the risk of sounding, silly, I do love y'all. I love the audience. I want to thank everybody who sent in birthday cards over the course of the last week. We are a family. I say it, we beat a dead horse sometimes. I repeat the word family, but it's truly the only word that describes the relationship that I feel that we share, our listening audience and the hosting staff here and with the network in Utah. We're a family. We're working for a cause that's greater than ourselves. And by the way, I want to thank you for the response that we've had to our second quarter fundraising drive. It looked a little touch and go there, a little hairy. Middle of last week, but over the course of the last 3 days, as we round out the second quarter fundraising drive tomorrow night, we have received more into the storehouse than we did in the last 2 months. So people, and again, these contributions coming in from all over the world, we have reached our goal for the second quarter. We're going to continue to be here. You have stood with us. We will continue to fight on your behalf, and we're going to be financially secure for at least the next quarter. We'll be talking again in the fall, but for right now, we've struck another blow. We're going to continue to move forward. God bless y'all, folks. We're just happy to be able to do what we're doing. And that being said, by the way, Keith, I'm glad you're back in, by the way. I'm not going to say we haven't had good shows the last 3 weeks, because we have, but it's just not the same without you. And for all the Eddie the Bombardier Miller fans, of course, Eddie picked up the slack last week during that first hour with Sam Bushman. Eddie had surgery to repair a hernia on Wednesday, but he is on the mend. I talked to Eddie today. He's not able to get up and move around quite yet, but he's still determined to race in the St. Jude Marathon in December, so we'll see how that goes. But Eddie won't be in tonight, but we're expecting a quick and speedy recovery. I don't know if Eddie mentioned the fact that he was going to be going under the knife, but he did, and he's fine. And well, that being said, it's all downhill from here, as it always is after we open the show with a little listener feedback. Tonight, Keith, we're going to be talking about a lot. As I said, busy show. We're going to be talking about the latest in the George Zimmerman trial, the recent decisions handed down by the Supreme Court, where they basically extolled the virtues of sodomy, as far as they see it, made the ruling on DOMA, the Voting Rights Act. What was the other one, Keith, that they ruled on recently? Affirmative action. Keith's going to break all those down. We're going to be talking about Paula Deen, who just won a gold medal in groveling, and much, much more. We got to take a break, and it's going right back to Keith when we start this next segment, folks. Glad to be here with you. Thank you for all you've done for us, and get ready for what promises to be a riveting installment of the Political Cesspool. Stay tuned.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Now the show is going to begin. You know, we like for the first segment to include a little bit of friendly banter. You know, we welcome everybody in. Everybody gets seated. Well, now you're going to have to hold on tight and grit your teeth. You know, the how doctors used to do when they were cutting off a leg or something, put a little stick in your mouth to bite down on, because it's going to be rough for the next 2 hours and 45 minutes. I'm going to give you a fair warning, and it's going to start with Paula Deen. I mean, for God's sake, how embarrassing. This groveling, it only emboldens the enemies of free speech when people act like this. Now, I know she was trying to save her job. We've got some great comments from some very astute listeners. But and I'm not even saying, you know, I'm not defending the use of a slur. You know, I don't call people that. It's not polite. I don't have a big problem with it as far as, you know, it certainly shouldn't be a crime. You shouldn't lose a career over it, but it's not polite. And she could say, you know what, it probably wasn't a nice thing to say, but should she have paid a price like this? Apparently, there's only two things for which there are no statutes of limitations: murder and saying the N-word. Because if what I've read is accurate, what she is going through so much hell for this week is the fact that she said the word, what, about 30 years ago? In response to a black person who stuck a gun in her face? I mean, that's what I heard. You know, this should have never been a story. The fact that some old woman said the N-word 30 years ago. First of all, who hasn't said it at some point in their lives? I mean, let's just be honest. At some point in our lives, I can guarantee you no black person can say they've never said it. And certainly no rapper. You know, Lil Wayne says the N-word more in one song than I'm sure Paula Deen says it in her entire life. So why should one race be able to say it and the other can't? Again, I'm not defending it. It's not a word that I use. It's not polite. It's just not good manners. But this should have never been a story, Keith. But leave it to the mainstream media to blow something like this entirely out of proportion. But in the meantime, outlets like TPC and WorldNet Daily, and WorldNet Daily, by the way, they have come on strong. I think Colin Flaherty is probably the most intrepid journalist talking about black on white crime right now. And I think we've had a hand in that. But, you know, we're the only sources reporting on heinous black-on-white crime. And which of the two is more serious? You know, we're going to talk in a little bit about this situation in New Jersey, this home invasion where this black guy just started beating this white woman nearly to death with her 3-year-old daughter on the couch. But as far as Paula Deen goes, you know, I wonder when black people, we were just talking about this, are also going to be the victims of economic terrorism. And I think that's what she's the victim of, economic terrorism, for using the same word. You know, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, racism hasn't hurt their careers. Jesse Jackson bragged about the fact that when he was a kid, probably not much longer ago than when Paula Deen said this word, he's spitting white people's food. He still has a job. He's still raking in eight figures a year. He's spitting white people's food. Said it, was proud about it. Double standard much? Keith, make a comment on this, and then we're going to listen to Paula Deen's grotesque apology.
Okay, at least Paula Deen doesn't spit in her food and then serve it to black people like Jesse Jackson did. This is... Yeah, first of all, Paula Deen is stupid. I don't think she even said this. I think she made this up for effect. She wanted to show how changed she was as a Southern person from the bad old days of yesteryear. And instead, it backfired on her. If she was smart, she should have known that her persona, which is like being a Southern buffoon, you know, making Twinkie pies and stuff like that, idiot stuff, you know, she's mocking Southerners but pretending to be an unapologetic, proud Southerner at the same time. Well, even the mockery didn't satisfy her critics, who would be members of the tribe who are in charge of the media. They've been waiting for her to make a misstep, to transgress the taboos of political correctness. She's done it now. She's given them the opening they want, and they're going to dry up her sinecure in the mainstream media, just like they dried up relief pitcher for the Atlanta Braves, John Rocker's career, when he made comments about how weird New York and New Yorkers were. He didn't worship New York the way that we're all supposed to worship New York, as if we were New York Jews. Okay, that's one thing. Then another thing is Dog the Bounty Hunter. Remember when he advised his son not to date a black woman, and he was taken off the air, and he was groveling, you know, in a way that would make Paula Deen proud. Apparently he said it, and he was given one more chance. I predict they're not going to give Paula a chance, because Dog the Bounty Hunter is more of a California low-class white person. Paula Deen is a red state, in fact, even the worst, the reddest of red states, the old Confederacy type of Southerner, and she needs to be banished to the outer darkness. That's what I predict, James.
Well, she certainly has been. She's lost all of her partners. I mean, even Sears, bankrupt Sears dumped her. My God, her publisher, her new cookbook, which actually is going to be released in a couple of weeks, is the number one selling book in the country right now. Number one on Amazon, number one everywhere. Number one book in all of the country. And even her publisher is dropping her, even though they say, hey, come on.
What this shows, it's just like Hollywood making loser movies like Red Tails about the Tuskegee Airmen or something, and had, you know, I never knew until I watched that movie that the Red Baron was a black Tuskegee Airman or something, you know. But what they're doing in these things, it's obvious that they have a mission they consider more important than making money. They'll make loser movies like Red Tails. They have a best-selling book like Paula Deen's cookbook, but they're going to stop publishing it. You know, this shows you that these people, making money is secondary. Destroying American society and civilization is first and foremost in their minds.
If we have time, I want to play the clip real quick so everybody can hear just how bad it was. Do we have time to work that in? If we do, let's go ahead and roll it now.
Paula Deen is trying to make right after admitting during a deposition to using the N-word in the past. In an odd video posted on YouTube Friday morning, Deen begs for the public to forgive her and says she hopes to learn from her mistake. But what makes the video so odd is that the apology is edited as if Deen was reading a script.
I want to apologize to everybody for the wrong that I've done. I want to learn and grow from this. Inappropriate, hurtful language is totally, totally unacceptable. I've made plenty of mistakes along the way, but I beg you, my children, my team, my fans, my partners, I beg for your forgiveness. Please forgive me for the mistakes that I've made.
Just hours after the video was posted, news surfaced that Dean was fired from the Food Network. For all things entertainment, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. For HipHollywood.com, I'm Ashley Williams.
If groveling were an Olympic sport, no one's going to take the gold medal from Paula Deen. And you know what's so bad, as you heard in that clip, it was after that apology. Actually, she apologized in three different videos. The first one wasn't good enough, so she offered a second and a third apology, each getting progressively more ludicrous. And then, and only then, did the Food Network and then all of her other corporate sponsors or partners decide to drop her. Now, again, this was 30 years ago. She said the N-word one time 30 years ago, and she has to face this sort of punishment and beratement. I'm not defending it. She shouldn't have said it. It's just, you know, just good manners. You just don't. But if she said it every day, it's not a crime. She should not have paid this price. There are people, hardcore felons. You can go out and commit a hardcore felony and not come off with a bad of a punishment as what she's receiving right now.
In fact, let me give you a perfect case in point. Kathy Boden. Who is Kathy Boden, pray tell? Kathy Boden is a good daughter of Israel who back in the day was a SES weather woman. She blew up an apartment on Washington Square. Then she killed two guards, Brinks guards, in a robbery. What did she get for that? She's now a professor at Columbia University. But she's not punished. In fact, she's rewarded. Paula Deen is punished.
We'll be back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. And, you know, as Keith said, I mean, we shouldn't be shedding any tears for Paula Deen. If anything, she deserves what she's going through after that apology, not for necessarily what she did 30 years ago, but that apology alone warrants her any kind of financial distress she might be experiencing. But she's worth tens of millions of dollars. If she never earns another dollar for the rest of her life, she's going to be better off than anybody listening to this show, I can guarantee you, and certainly better than me and Keith will ever be. But the same week, just to give you a compare and contrast at how evil the media is, and they truly are evil, except for our show, of course, and this network, and with few exceptions. Well, we are part of the media being on AM and FM radio, but they certainly wouldn't claim us. We're like the redheaded stepchildren at the family reunion. But I think I'm about to have a heart attack. I don't know what's going on here, but doing this show for 9 years, I'm having like chest pains right now. I don't know if it's the stress of fundraising we've been under the last couple of months, even though our listeners brought us into the clear a couple of days ago, or just being so excited to be back in the studio after a week off. But if I die here, Keith, you just carry us, take it home. Anyway, well, I'm going to try to shake this off here. But same week, the Paula Deen story is a global news story. You know, absolute national news, to say the least, on every alphabet soup channel, Fox, CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, a lead story for days and days and days, all over the internet, everywhere. If there is a media outlet, I mean, we're even covering them, but for different reasons. But, I mean, the Paula Deen story has been everywhere. If they report news, they've talked about Paula Deen and how evil she is. And, you know, she's bad, of course, because she said a word 30 years ago after she got robbed. Apparently a lot worse than this perpetrator here in New Jersey. If you've been to the cesspool blog this week at thepoliticalcesspool.org, it was filed under the entry titled, "It Doesn't Get Any More Real Than This." So the same week the Paula Deen story happens, you have this this career criminal, this black man in New Jersey, this thug. He breaks into the home of a young woman and viciously beats her while her three-year-old daughter watches on the couch. Now, this, of course, was caught by a nanny cam or a bedside camera that they used to. We actually have one at our house. My wife and I have one in our daughter's room. So, but this one can record. I guess we got the cheap version. But this one had a recording device, so it captured everything while he was beating her senselessly. I'm very much surprised. You can watch this. It's very hard to watch. It's a graphic video, very difficult to watch. But you watch this thug. You know, the Southern Poverty Law Center says that I call black people animals, and that's absolutely not true because there are good black people out there, and I'm happy to work with anybody who agrees with us on the issues. But this man's an animal. You know, the people, when I was on CNN to talk about the rape and torture and murder of the young white couple in Knoxville, the Christian and Newsom murders and rapes and tortures, I mean, the people who did that were absolute animals. I mean, they're subhuman. And so this guy, you know, he just goes in to do a burglary because that's his career. He's already been arrested four times for burglary, armed robbery. And he just goes in and starts beating her in the head, kicking her in front of her child, throws her down the stairs. This made local news, and I'm thankful for that. It made local news in the city in New Jersey where it happened. But that's it. Meanwhile, the Paula Deen story, whether or not she said the N-word 30 years ago, was the top story across the nation. Now, between the two, which is a more serious offense? And this is just further evidence that the media is vile, anti-white, it's a hate-driven machine. And Lord, let me live long enough to see the political cesspool Liberty News Radio gain equal footing. Let's listen to the clip, and then I'm going to let Keith provide commentary. This is the clip from the New Jersey affiliate. You're not going to be able to see the video. You can go to our website to watch it, but it's going to give you the audio.
My daughter has saw everything. Saw me get choked and hit and slapped and beaten up.
Caught on camera, a home invasion so violent it's difficult to watch. A young mother viciously attacked in front of her terrified three-year-old. More details tonight in a story you saw first on 12, and it is truly disturbing. I'm Della Cruz. We waited until this late to show you more of last Friday's brutal attack. The victim says she wants you to see it and hope it leads to the suspect's arrest.
An alarm company was installing a security system at the victim's home on Cypress Street this afternoon. A totally understandable reaction after this. Around 10:30 Friday morning, the young mother of two was attacked by an intruder who did not care that she was unarmed and putting up no resistance, or that her little girl was in the room, watching her mother struggling with a stranger who kicked his way inside. During the assault, she made a conscious decision to take whatever the intruder dished out.
I knew that if I started screaming, my daughter would too, and I was afraid that she would get hurt. I took it. I didn't cry the entire time.
Nanny cam on the mantle captured the whole thing. Brutal punches and vicious kicks that sent her flying. At one point, he places her in a chokehold and slams her to the floor. Then he drags her away. You can hear the dread in her voice. Oh no, she says, before he shoves her down the stairs. It is video that sickens everyone who sees it, veteran cops, and of course, the victim's husband.
I was in the room with about seven officers, and we were all just speechless. It was like an out-of-body experience.
And yet, as hard as it is to watch, the couple say they want people to see it.
They need to help us get him off the streets. He's not just a burglar. You know, he's violent.
Well, James, I think it was Irving Kristol that said a neocon is a liberal who's been mugged. This lady, I understand, had an Obama sticker on her car. I wonder what her position is now on race realism. This is, you know, hopefully we have a convert out of this. People have got to wake up and smell the coffee about racial reality in America. And if you think this is bad, how bad do you think it's going to be after white people become a minority in America, in their own land? If you want to see what that leads to, fast forward, take a look at South Africa today, where actually the Genocide Watch group has said that white South Africans are the victims of intentional genocide orchestrated by the South African government. Yeah, that's, you know, we've reported on that too, right? It's, this is what's actually happening, and this is in America today. This is what goes unreported. They ran this clip after they picked it up, I suppose, from us at Fox News and presented it to a blue ribbon panel of neocons who obviously were fidgeting. They hated to have to see this and comment about it because, of course, what separates mainstream conservatives from us here at the political cesspool is we will engage and stalk the taboos of political correctness like race and like Jewish power and influence. They won't. There was race being dished up to them, a hot steaming plateful of it in this particular video that was being run on Fox News. And these guys, quite frankly, it was painful to watch their discomfort. They did not want to comment. They did not want to tell the emperor that he had no clothes. They did not want to make realistic commentary on it. That's why Fox News is worthless. Let me tell you what else this shows. This contrast this with Paula Deen. Paula Deen, big news. This, no news except for the alternative media of the internet. And that forced Fox News to run something on it. CNN has it running. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, forget about it, as they sound The Sopranos. What that is an example of, what it exemplifies, is the Sam Francis concept of a narco-tyranny. This is a perfect example of a narco-tyranny as Sam Francis defined it in the mid-90s. Basically, white people are the victims of anarchy, as shown by this New Jersey assault on the housewife. Anarchy, the police are not controlling the actual crime of actual criminals, and the white middle class or all classes are suffering, and they're suffering anonymously. If this hadn't been run on a local news station, an outlet, it would have been buried. Meanwhile, we have tyranny by the authorities, by the powers that be, as shown by the Paula Deen situation. Paula Deen's livelihood has been threatened. Basically, it's been wiped out. So white people, again, are victims of both anarchy when it comes to controlling real criminals and tyranny by the enforcement of punitive measures against non-crime, like Paula Deen's confession that 35 years ago she dropped the N-bomb.
We'll be back with more, folks. Stay tuned. The Political Cesspool rolls on the Liberty News Radio Network.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Hi, this is Vincent Finelli with USAPrepares.com. This July 19th, 20th, and 21st is our 6th Get Prepared Expo in Lebanon, Missouri, the largest in the USA. This is your opportunity to get prepared for every type of emergency and disaster that's headed our way. We've had deadly hurricanes, deadly tornadoes, deadly droughts. The Get Prepared Expo has the exhibits, the demonstrations, the seminars, and the workshops designed to help you prepare. Learn how and where to start and how to plan for contingencies. Expect more seminars than you can attend. Violent climate change, water purification, solar power, storm shelters, food storage plans, survival gardening, detecting radiation. What if you can't get to a doctor to fill a prescription? Learn alternative ways to control your blood pressure, learn natural healing, become a Native American medicine man or woman. 3 days, $18 at Get Prepared Expo or $10 a day at the door. Have a plan, bring your family, let the Get Prepared Expo get you started. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back to the show. James Edwards and Keith Alexander. Busy show tonight. Lots of news. Big news, too. Timely stuff that's happening right now. We're making pretty good time as far as we're concerned. One segment, one story is pretty good for us. I think on network television they do a story about every 2 minutes, but we're a little more methodical. But nevertheless, just a quick recap or a final point to make on that story of the home intrusion in New Jersey. I mean, to be fair, if it had been a home invasion, beating, whatever, if it had been a white guy, he would still be an animal. But this guy was most certainly an animal because of what he did. Now, he was arrested. That's an update that I'm not sure if everyone knows yet. He has been apprehended. It has come to light that he has been in jail on four previous occasions for similar conduct. So he'll go to jail for another couple of years because of this. He'll get three hots and a cots, and he'll end up paying a lesser price for this than Paula Deen did. Keith, real quick, because we got to get the scoop.
I'm just waiting for Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton to come to his rescue because he's being persecuted and maligned unfairly by the racist system.
Well, you actually set Scoop up perfectly, Keith, with that comment, because if you want to talk about somebody that's being persecuted unfairly, look no further than George Zimmerman, whose trial started, and it's like the greatest trial since the Casey Anthony one. It's all over it's like 24/7 wall-to-wall TV on headline news and court, these court channels. I haven't had a lot of time to pay attention to what's going on with the Zimmerman trial. I've gotten pieces here or there, but Peter Scoop Stanton, that's been his assignment this week, is to break down in chronological order everything that's happened inside the walls of that Florida courtroom. And Scoop, what can you tell us?
Good evening, James, Keith, and the NSA. Well, let's break it in our chronological order. Let's get the non-important stuff first, or the not interesting stuff, because, boy, I got a doozy coming at you.
Okay.
The prosecution had just about everybody from the Sanford Police Department, EMS from Sanford Fire Department, nurse practitioner that looked at Zimmerman, and this is what I found out. Mr. Martin was on top of George Zimmerman, beating the holy dog snout out of him. Zimmerman did draw his weapon and shoot. When the police did arrive, Mr. Zimmerman told the police that, yes, he did shoot Trayvon Martin, and yes, he was still armed. Zimmerman offered no resistance whatsoever and was followed all the directions of the police's order. In terms of injuries, the EMT that treated Mr. Zimmerman gave a blow-by-blow description of all of his injuries. So the prosecution's doing a great job defending Mr. Zimmerman. I wouldn't be too surprised if after this is all done, the district attorney's office offers him a job. But the doozy of the trial was Rachel Jean Teal. She was the state's star witness. This star witness was on the phone when this was all going down. And talk about a boob. Zimmerman's attorney, Don West, treated her with kid gloves, because if he acted like a real attorney in the courtroom, he would have been accused of a berating the witness, because this girl is just dumb as a box of rocks.
She couldn't read cursive. Am I right in that? I mean, that's not an exaggeration.
Right. She claimed she had three different stories of what happened. She thought the term crazy backside cracker was not racist. And
yeah, she got to call him a cracker in court, and that you know, that's neither here nor there. Which,
right.
Yeah, he's not even white. I mean, never mind the fact that he's not even white, that he identifies himself as a Hispanic. And he is, I mean, if anybody looked at him, you couldn't. You know, that's the thing about it, Scoop. You look at this guy. He obviously has, you know, I'm sure he has some white blood in him. But he's majority Hispanic, and he identifies himself as Hispanic. This goes to show how contemptible and evil and anti-white the media is. They are salivating so hard for there to be a real life Mississippi Burning or a Time to Kill type murder that they will cast a guy that is just obviously Hispanic as a white guy, and then he has to go through that as some sort of a white supremacist, even though he's not. He's not even white, much less a white supremacist. And then, so that's one thing about this case that's always struck me. You know, this would be an open and shut case. They probably, if it hadn't been for all the media hysteria that this case received in the early days, I don't even think that this would have gone to trial. I think they would have just cleared him and let him go. But in addition to that, where in the hell is La Raza and all of these, you know, supposed pro-mestizo and Hispanic organizations? I mean, if Zimmerman was the victim of a white guy shooting him, every Hispanic advocacy organization in the world would be coming to his defense. But where are they now? I'll let you answer that and then get back to your take on what's happening in court, and then we're going to turn it over to Keith.
Well, what's happening is that since Zimmerman was, you know, defending himself, and more or less he's acting, you know, trying to keep the peace, he didn't fit the profile. He was, as far as I know, he's not an advocate for, you know, more money out of the taxpayer pocket. He's not advocating, you know, open up the borders. And, of course, leave it to the political cesspool to defend him. We were one of the few shows that defended Zimmerman and also defended Border Patrol agents Ramos and Campion.
Right.
But back to Ms. Gentile, the Twitterverse was going hog wild on this lady. If time permits, the three biggest offenders was Anthony Cumia at Anthony Cumia on Twitter, Pat Dowd at Pat Dowd, and yours truly at American Scoop all on Twitter.
Well, but, Scoop also on Twitter. Also on Twitter are the vows from all these black fans of the juvenile thug Trayvon Martin. They are pledging and promising riots in the streets if justice is served and the jury finds Zimmerman not guilty. They are promising riots in the streets. So that's one thing. And, you know, the fact that Zimmerman has an all-female jury, I don't know if that helps or hurts. But, you know, surely he should not be convicted of murder in this case. I mean, if I thought that the witness that the defense had was, certainly a ringer. I think he did a great job. But Keith, I'm going to turn it over to you, and then we'll get back to Scoop for a final word because this is his story. But what do you take from this all now? What do you think Zimmerman's prospects are going forward? I was talking to my dad about this. We had dinner. He thinks it's going to be a pretty quick trial, and it's going to come to a verdict fairly quickly also.
Yeah, I don't know if Zimmerman's lawyer is taking a dive or not, Scoop, but I will say this. You have a system of law in America like our system of government generally, which is an inheritance from our Anglo-Saxon forebears. Institutions like trial by jury derive from that Anglo-Saxon tradition, and they operate pretty well when you have white people serving on juries exclusively, like they used to have in the South, okay? When you start having multiculturalism, multiracialism in America, and you have various and sundry races other than white people serving on these juries, that's when you start having problems with the jury system. For example, tort reform. The dirty little secret that none of the proponents of tort reform will tell you, that none of the insurance companies and none of the business roundtable people will tell you, is that the only venues where they will have problems with runaway juries are venues that have a vast majority of minority people, like a population that's 80% black or 80% Hispanic. That's where you start having runaway juries. How does the establishment deal with that? We're going to take rights away to a trial by jury from everyone, even people that live in a 100% almost white locale or county. They don't get to have jury trials, or they have their jury rights severely restricted by tort reform because of the misbehavior of some non-white minorities. That's one thing. The other thing, too, Zimmerman's problem is his last name. If his last name was Mendoza, we never would have heard about this trial. He has the misfortune to be an Hispanic person with a German last name. And as a result, it's being played and spun by the Jewish-dominated media as an anti-white, a white versus black confrontation, when, of course, it isn't at all. Why the silence is deafening from La Raza and all of these other Hispanic advocacy groups. Why? That's the exact same reason why that, for example, we had a situation where, blacks were hammered into compliance with the gay agenda. They were the ones that defeated Proposition 8 in the 2008 election. They voted against gay marriage more than any other demographic category. But then the money masters, the Jewish masterminds, told the NAACP and other black advocacy groups that if you don't straighten out your people, we're going to cut off your water. No more money. So suddenly, miraculously, the NAACP became great champions of gay rights. Likewise, La Raza, MECA, and all of these places, they're not coming to Zimmerman's aid because they want to keep the money coming from the paymaster.
Scoop, we'll have to have part two on this next week so you can finish your report. There's never enough time in one segment, it seems, and perhaps next week we can extend your appearance from one segment to two. Just got a text message from Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who's listening on the local affiliates. He says, hi to Keith. Hi to Scoop. You're doing a great job. And Scoop, you did tonight, and we'll talk to you next week, brother. But for the rest of you, hours two and three